Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 17. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
And it came to pass the day after, somebody say the day after, that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and said, young man, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17 again. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. It's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. Would you lift your voices to the Lord? Would you lift your hands? Would we pray to help us to be doers of His Word? Not just listeners and hearers, but doers. Can we do that, Revival Tabernacle? Just let there be one choir, a voice of prayer this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Help us to be doers this morning, God. Help us to be, God, your stewards, Lord, that would do what you would have us to do, to respond, not be distracted, God, not to be a distraction, Lord, but to come with our minds ready to hear from you, to receive from you, God, what thus saith the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. This healing is only recorded in Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 7 is a long chapter. In fact, there's so much content in these 50 verses. Nain was a small city in Galilee. There was an entourage of folks that was with Jesus as he made his way into the city of Nain. What I've discovered is that Nain from Capernaum, where Jesus was coming from, was about 20 to 25 miles away. And so they didn't travel with automobiles, and they used animals, and many times they walked. And so these folks had traveled and made the journey with Jesus as he had left Capernaum. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 7, the first 10 verses, Jesus had healed the centurion's servant. And there was much joy, much excitement that had taken place. In fact, this is the scripture setting when they came to Jesus and said that there was a Roman centurion that had been good to the Jewish people. In fact, the scripture says that he even helped build a place of worship for them. And he had a servant that was ill and about to die. And they wanted Jesus to come and heal and pray and go visit. And so Jesus is actually on his way. Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10. And the Roman centurion finds out Jesus is actually coming to his house. He says, hey, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but Sister Aguayo, I just want you to speak the word. Just tell Jesus to speak the word, because I'm a man under authority, and I tell some to go and they come, and I tell others to come and they come, or vice versa. And he said, just have Jesus, just send the word, just speak the word. And so Jesus said, I have not seen such great a faith, and this servant was healed. And so there is this group of people. There's this crowd that is following Jesus, and they're following Jesus to Nain. And they get to as they are approaching the gates of the city, they get to the city gates. There's another crowd of people. In fact, you could just imagine the expectation that there was for those folks that had just witnessed Sister Kendrick Jesus speak the word and this servant be healed. There was probably much expectation. Folks that were with Jesus were excited. They were following the Master. They were following our Lord and Savior. They were following the one that fed the multitude. They were following the one that spoke the word and things took place. They were following the miracle worker. And they're following Jesus, and they get to the city gate, and they're approached by another crowd of people. Another crowd that is not in a joyous state and not in a celebrating, but they're mourning. In fact, this group of people are following a casket, a bier. It's a casket. And in that casket is a dead young man. And Jesus and his, I'm going to use the word crowd or entourage. And I hope that's not offensive, but the scripture says there was lots of people with them and they're following Jesus, and then they come up against another crowd. And it's interesting that when two worlds collide, you ever think of, in your life when there's two worlds that collide, there's things that, I'm getting a little ringing up here. There's things that happen when your world and another world kind of collides. And that, thank you. And what takes place is Jesus gets to that point and, they're approaching. And the interesting thing about it is the crowd that Jesus and his crowd are coming up against are a dead man in a casket and a mother who was a widow, and the only son that she had was in that casket. And so they're approaching, and Jesus, the scripture says, he has compassion. Now there's crying, no doubt, in a procession. There's folks that are what we would call today, they were hired to be people that would cry and mourn. In Bible days, that was not uncommon. In fact, funerals in Bible days was much different than that what we typically would experience in North America. Usually funerals in Bible days involved lots of people. It was very public, and it usually the period of mourning lasted about 30 days. And so some of these mourners were hired to cry and to wail and to be that visible and out in front. In fact, we would understand that a widow would be very vulnerable in that time and place, because there was no resources at that time for widows. So this kind of gives us a really good picture of the foundation of what Jesus was walking into. Jesus walked into the scene of a funeral procession. Now, I can relate to this as being Portuguese, that our funerals back in what we'd call the old country were somewhat similar to that, where you would have a procession down the street from where you were going to the church, and there's flowers on the street. In fact, now I'm digressing, I'm going on a rabbit trail, but just to give you a little bit of history, they'll put a ladder down on the ground, lay it down, not stand it up, they'll lay it down, and where the steps are, they'll put flowers in between that. And so it's just perfectly orchestrated. That's probably where my attention to detail or my OCD came from, is because it's just built in us. And so they'll do that. And so they're following this procession. Jesus is coming. And so now you got to appreciate a divine encounter. Amen. You know, those kind of encounters that you thought you were just going to go check out the new donut shop or get gas or go to Target or just go to ladies gathering, and the very thing that you've been praying about or dealing with or that's been on your heart, the very thing that you've been wondering what was going to happen and what you were going to do, someone says something to you that ministers to your heart. They had no idea what you were thinking or praying about. You gotta love divine encounters where you're standing in line and you just look over to read something and there's just something there that ministers to you that hundreds or thousands of other people would look at and read it and think not twice of it, but you look at it and you know that it was from God because there was just something that you had just talked to the Lord about and you've been praying about and God meets your need. You just gotta love divine encounters. That the devotion at maybe a men's gathering or a ladies' gathering or a youth night is just the confirmation that you needed from the Lord. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning. A God that sets up divine encounters for His people. A God that hears your prayer and knows the desires of your heart. A God that has an expected end for His children. In fact, if you turn your attention to Jeremiah 29 and 11, the scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, there are folks that they have low expectations for themselves. They have high expectations for others. They have no expectations for some places that they go to. But could I tell you, our Lord has an expected end for us. He's expecting us to get to heaven. He's expecting us to reach out to Him, to call unto Him. He says, "Call unto me and I will answer. I will show you great and mighty things." That's the God that we serve. That's not a rumor, friend. I can verify that I can ask God things and He will minister to His people. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The funeral procession was in progress. I mean, think about it. The young man was dead and already in a coffin. The people were walking with the mother who was a widow and it was her only son. And then Jesus comes along in Luke 7 and 13 and it says that He had compassion on her. And then He says two words, "Weep not." You know, when you're going through a tough time, trial, tribulation, hardship, and someone says, "Don't cry," it really seems insensitive, right? It's just like, really, I'm going to cry if I want to. But Jesus says, "Don't cry." And there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
You know, when the Lord says, "Don't cry," it's just like, well, okay, I got to trust you, Lord. I'm not going to cry. But notice this in Psalms 30 and 11. "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." That's not a rumor, friend. That's the word of God.
Yeah.
If God says He's going to do something, it's not a rumor.
Right.
It's not gossip. It's not a lie. It's the gospel truth. He is going to do it. I'm a testimony of that verse, that He has turned my mourning into dancing. Can anybody testify that there's been times in your life that He truly has turned your mourning into dancing? The psalmist says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Somebody say hallelujah. You know, maybe you're facing things on your job, in your health, your marriage, your family. I got three things for you. It's not too complicated for God. It's not a surprise to God. Neither is your situation unique. Because our God can do anything. And that is not a rumor. That is the truth, friend. Our God can do anything for anybody. He's no respecter of person. Notice that. In fact, it's verifiable. There's folks here all across this sanctuary that can verify by themselves. They're a witness to what God has done, what He's gonna do, and what He's doing. There's folks here today that if you knew their background and where they came from, you would feel really bad or really afraid to be sitting by them. But thanks be to God, we have the victory. Thanks be to God that He has forgiven us of our sins. Our God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Matthew 28 and 18 says that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Our God is omniscient. That means He is all knowing. Notice this, what the psalmist writes. "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my paths and my lying down.
Yeah.
Notice, I love this part. Yeah. And are acquainted with all my ways. You ever tell somebody, oh, you don't know me? He's acquainted with all your ways. Yeah. All the ways. The old you and the new you. And the you think nobody knows about. He's acquainted in all ways. For there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Our God's not limited in power. Our God's not limited in resources. Mr. Franco, He's not limited in knowledge. The scripture tells us in Psalms 147:4, He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them by name. Great is our Lord, and of great power His understanding is infinite. Great is our Lord. Can anybody testify or be a witness of how great is our God this morning? Can anybody testify that our God is great and greatly to be praised? And that's not a rumor, but it's the truth. Can anybody testify? Is anybody verify for yourself? I tried Him and I found out that He's all right. There's nothing too big for our God. You say, Pastor, I get that. But neither is there nothing too small for our God. You know, there's some people, you go to their place of business and they're like, guys, you might want to go to the guy that works out of his garage. It's too small for me. Don't got time for that, you know. If I stop and help you, it'll cost me more money. But our Lord is not that way. There's nothing too small for Him. We're all His children. When He died on the cross, it was for everybody. He paid one price and He hung on one cross and it was enough for everybody. Tell me where you can go and who you know, what place or what person or what thing can do that. But our Savior, God manifested in the flesh, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are made complete in Him. It's not a rumor, but it's true, my friend. God can do anything for anybody. And if you're here this morning and you got doubts and say, well, my problem's too small, it's too big, I've never seen that before, can I tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. In the beginning, God created, and God can create again. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It's almost as if He says it with an attitude. You know who I am?
Yeah.
I am the Lord.
Yeah.
The God of all flesh. Yeah. Is there anything too hard for me? You know, like I am the man of the house.
Amen.
And we want to eat dessert first? We're going to eat dessert first.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Jesus touches the coffin. Some of you like that dessert part. You're going to go to a restaurant afterwards and say, Pastor said we could eat dessert first. Jesus touched the coffin and the men that were carrying the coffin stood still. See, it wasn't customary for the Jews to touch a dead body or a coffin. They saw it as unclean according to the Levitical law, specifically in Leviticus 21. But Jesus didn't come to defy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus touches the coffin and speaks life into the young man. Notice this. And He came in Luke 7:14 and touched the bier, and that bare him stood still. And He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Just one word, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And He delivered him to his mother, and there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited His people. You see, our Lord is not intimidated by our circumstance or the pity party that we make. You know, we get fearful. We get intimidated. Doubt sets in. I talked about it Wednesday night, about isolation. And before you know it, we've got our own procession. We got our own crowd of folks that following us. Cause you know, as they say, misery loves company. And so you end up with a bunch of doubters hanging out together and, well, boo-hooing together, sharing the box of Kleenex and swapping how bad one store is. Oh, yours is not as bad as mine because I lost foo-foo too with all of it. You know, and trouble after trouble and heartache after heartache. And before you know it, you want to give up and you have the grass is greener syndrome and you want to quit and life is this and life is that and the church this and my husband was this and my ex maybe wasn't so bad and my kids and my job and this paycheck and the pastor's preaching too long and he's preaching about me, you know, and all this stuff is going on and you're saying, well, it's all true because it's not a rumor. I can tell you because I'm living it. It's all bad. And before you know it, you got all these thoughts and emotions and things that are going through your mind. I wonder if that's how the widow felt. She's by herself now for sure. Thinking, well, I don't have anybody to take care of me. Not that she was looking for a handout, but things were significantly much different back then. Some cultures today, some of you today can relate with some of that because some of your cultures are still very family oriented, which is awesome. So you can relate to that in a sense, but specifically during this time, it was much, much different. And Jesus reaches out and he touches the casket and he speaks life. You see, some folks make comments or would have told Jesus, I wouldn't do it. It's not worth it. The law says there's no use. It's over. Give up already. Let it go. It's already in the coffin. It's done deal. But Jesus steps in and everything stops. Scripture tells us in Isaiah 53:4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for pastors' transgressions. He was wounded for the transgressions of those that have been in the church their entire life. He was wounded for the transgressions of the rich people or the educated or for the poor people or he was wounded for our transgressions. That means everybody. Say, that's me. He was bruised for our iniquities. Somebody say, that's me. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's the word of God, friend. That's not a rumor. That's true. That's verified. Can anybody testify? Would anybody be willing to stand and say, I'm not only an eyewitness, but I am a product of Isaiah 53 that he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Can anybody testify? There have been times where you were sick and God healed you. Can anybody testify about the chastisement of your peace? Are you brave enough to lift your voice and stand to your feet and just thank the Lord and give him the glory? Somebody brave enough in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost and say, I haven't received my healing yet, but I have faith in God. I'm still a sinner. I haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, but I believe the Word of God. Would you stand right now? Would you lift your hands and thank the Lord? Would you testify unto everyone else with your hands lifted up? It's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a witness to what God can do. It's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. Amen. It's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. Tell your neighbor, it's not a rumor. It's not a rumor. Jesus steps in the scene and one touch changes everything. One church service and everything changes. I like this part. One prayer and everything changes. One worship service. And everything changes. But I like your preaching, Pastor, but I can't wait till the altar call. I can't wait till the preaching. It happens during the worship. God met my need. God met my need while I was worshiping. I wasn't even at the altar. It was a slow song. I was just sitting there and I lifted my hands and the Lord met my needs. Can anybody testify that you're a living witness of what God can do? One walked down to the altar and a repentant heart and forgiveness is granted. And before you know it, what you thought was never possible becomes possible. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not a rumor. I'm a living testimony. I can verify that. Somebody say amen. The place, this place is filled with folks that can testify that when Jesus steps into our situations, when Jesus steps into our lives, just one word from the Lord can change everything. That's why John had it right when he said in John 1:4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. That is a fact, friends. That's not fake news. It may be old news, but it's still good news, and it's still the news. Jesus Christ still saves. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And today is the day of salvation. That, my friend, is not a rumor. I can remember times in my life when I thought it was hopeless and I was helpless and I was alone, but I wasn't really alone. I was frustrated. I was emotional. I was, as Sister Tonya would say, I was loco. But just one touch from the Master. Just one touch from our Heavenly Father. Just where the Holy Ghost begins to move and begins to stir it up. That's why Titus had it right. It's by the renewing and the reviving or the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. You gotta just keep it moving. It's the Holy Ghost on fire and it's keeping us alive, or the Holy Spirit on fire. That is not a rumor. That is verifiable. Aren't you glad that in the midst of people giving up on us or our situations, that the Lord doesn't give up? Let's be honest that we have given up on some people. We have given up. We don't answer their calls. We don't invite them. We've deleted them from the contact list and they don't no longer get the emails or the birthday card. We've kind of written them off, that we throw away the key but our Lord doesn't do that. Anybody glad that we don't get what we deserve? We don't get what we deserve. You say, well, you're sanctified self. No, friend. Aren't you glad that you don't get what you deserve from Him? Aren't you glad He don't treat you the way you treat some people? How you've treated some circumstances. How you act like you didn't see Him. You just kept on going. You say, well, you know, I don't know the situation. Him that knoweth to do good and do it not good, to Him it is sin. That's in the Word of God, friend. That's not a rumor. That is true. I'm so glad I have a Lord and a Savior that died on the cross for my sin, that even when and if I mess up, He's still saying, you know what? There's a plan for your life. There's a purpose for your life. It's not over yet. I can forgive you. I can wash you away your sins. I can do it over and over and over again. That is not a rumor. Hallelujah. What our God can do is true. He does save. He does forgive. He does love. There is a heaven, but there is a hell. He does extend mercy. Our God is faithful. He does want to bless. He does want to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, our God is a God of hope. He is a God of righteousness. He is a God that will judge us according to the Word of God. He said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Is there anybody here today that your situation looks bleak? It looks broken. It looks dead. It's depressing. It's not all good. But you serve a God of all hope that says, I make all things beautiful in my time. To every man, there's appointed a season and a purpose. He's got a purpose for your life this morning. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with some joy, and some peace. All joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through your own power. Ah, let's read that together, everybody. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, a little louder, and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not by man's power.
No.
The power of the Holy Ghost. You see, God still visits His people. The healing took place in Luke 7 and 16. And they glorified God, saying that God had visited His people. The psalmist writes in Psalm 106 and 4, Brother Lindsay says, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. Oh, visit me with Thy." You know, I'll give you the fact that what you're dealing with or going through looks bad. I'll give you that. That they, whoever they is, may have said it's final. This is it. I'll give you that there's already a period and the signature already on the dotted line and they've turned everything in already. I'll give you that. Your outlook and perspective on your situation may have diminished. I'll give you that you may have even forgotten about the prayer requests or the prayers that you've prayed about. You may have forgotten them. Can I tell you that the Lord doesn't forget your prayers. The psalmist tells us that he even collects our tears. But our God can touch us and our circumstance, and He can speak the word. He can just send somebody or one word, arise. And everything changed just in a moment, just like that. Notice something just so awesome. This mother had not even said a word. She didn't ask for anything. I've mentioned this before in past messages that I love to read the book of Luke because Luke was very detailed. In my opinion, he's very detailed. Luke was obviously he was educated. He was a physician. Luke had spent time with Paul. Luke was an evangelist, but he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he's very detailed. In fact, 50 verses in one chapter would show you that he's pretty detailed. So Luke is writing, and this story is only in Luke. But this lady doesn't utter one word. She hasn't asked for anything. She didn't ask for a miracle. She didn't send someone to go get Jesus like what happened 10 verses earlier. She didn't throw herself at Jesus' feet or when the approach of Jesus and the entourage or the crowd came. She doesn't say anything. Think of this. You got two crowds. One that is joyous, has just seen a miracle. They're walking with Jesus. And another one's following a funeral procession. You're going to hear from one or the other. And she doesn't say anything, Sister Ellen. As far as we know, she didn't know who Jesus was. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But what we do know is that Jesus saw her and He had compassion on her. That ought to be a consolation for somebody this morning.
Amen.
You may not even know the Lord.
Right.
This may be your first time in a church. This may be your first time in a Pentecostal church. You may have went to church as a kid. Maybe your relationship with the Lord is a strain. Maybe you're not in a religion. Well, I'm not in a religion either. And true story. And that's not a rumor. I'm in a relationship with the Lord. But He sees her and He has compassion on her. And He sees you this morning and He has compassion for you. He resurrected her situation in front of everybody. What she had thought was gone and lost forever was restored to her. Can I tell you, sin is destroying lives. For the wages of sin is still death. But God has compassion on us. And He's already paid the price for us. And He wants to resurrect you with filling you with the Holy Ghost or the Spirit this morning. I love the God that we serve. That even when we were in sin, God, Christ died on the cross for our sins. The God that we serve is alive and He's well and His presence is here this morning. He has filled me with the Holy Ghost. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. You can have life and life more abundantly. That's not a rumor. They glorify God that God had visited. God still visits His people today. God visited us this morning in our praise and worship as the musicians come. He's in this place right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the anointing of God covering me right now. I feel that this morning somebody has come in today and everything that you can even imagine is coming up against you, and anything that you feel that you've touched is falling apart, and you feel like you're a day late and a dollar short, and you're always second best, third best, you're just the third wheel in life. You feel that you've always tried to do things right, and you feel like the good guy always finishes last. Can I tell you, God is not forsaking you. You are not an accident. You're not a mistake. I have good news for you today that His presence is here. This morning, if you would just take a moment and lift your hands unto the Lord. I'm speaking to somebody in the Holy Ghost. You've come in today to check it out, but God is saying, I see you and I see your circumstance and I have compassion for you. Don't keep your eyes on man. Don't look of how it appears and what the lady next to you look like and what the guy in front of you, how he lifts his hands. Just lift your voice to the Lord. Just lift your hand to the Lord. Let Him deal with your heart. What you're feeling right now is the presence and the power of God. He's ministering to you this morning. He's saying, I see you and I see your circumstance. I've seen your tears and I've heard your prayers this morning. I've come for a divine appointment for somebody this morning to meet your need. He's looking to visit somebody this morning. Maybe you've come today out of obligation. I feel the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad that you did. Because He's still visiting His people. He's come to visit you today as we stand. He's calling you. Will you answer Him? Will you respond to His call? Will you yield the pull on your heart? There's a tug. Some of you are feeling the tug on your heart. Some of you may want to cry. Some of you feel like overwhelmed. Some of you are feeling convicted. But all of us are feeling the presence and the power of God in this place. It's real. It's tangible. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. Language that you don't know that He'll take over in. It's the Holy Spirit in you. The glory of God is power. It starts with repentance. Telling God, I'm sorry for what I've done. And He forgives you. You're just the kind of person that He wants to change and to help and to restore and to forgive and to bless and to strengthen this morning. Everything you've ever needed or wanted, you can find it in our Lord. He's the answer for all the world. Your world is different than my world and different than your neighbor's world. But He's the answer to all of our situations. Our world, He's the answer for today. Psalmist writes in Psalm 55 and 22, as I make the invitation to the altar, you can come now. I feel the power of God. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He's still in the people helping business this morning. He has the power to comfort you this morning. The power to have hope for any situation. What we see as broken, He sees as repairable. Forgiveness comes when we repent. Repentance is saying I'm sorry. It's being sincere about it. Saying I'm not going to have the mindset, the attitudes, or the actions of what I used to do. I need some altar workers. He He died on the cross for all our sins. He shed His blood. He hung on that cross so we could be forgiven, healed, blessed, and have everlasting life. As I open the altars, would you lift your hands this morning? Would you surrender to Him? Allow Him to step into your situation. Come on. Would you pray with somebody next to you? If it's appropriate, put your hand on their shoulder. Pray with them, one for another. Come on. He's going to touch somebody this morning. He's going to bless somebody, heal somebody, forgive, deliver, strengthen. He'll do it. That's not a rumor. It's verifiable. He'll do it today. Come on. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. We won't embarrass you. He won't embarrass you. Just lift your hand right where you are. I'm sorry. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, God. Would you forgive me of my sins, God? Would you touch me? Would you change me? Would you help me? Would you deliver me? Would you bless me? Transform me this morning. Come on, altar workers. Pastor needs your help this morning. Oh, God, I can't do it by myself. I can't make it on my own, God. I got to have you, Lord. My problem is big, but you're bigger, oh God. My situation, oh God, is beyond my control. But you're in control of it all today. My cup is empty, but you can make it overflow. So here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Fill it up this morning. Jesus! Jesus! Come on, RT, that's it. Jesus! Jesus!
Won't you fill it up as full as it can be? Let the overflow overwhelm my soul and make my life complete. I need overflow, overflow. Let it empty.